You are now listening to another edition of the More Abundant Life Radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm glad you've joined us today. The More Abundant Life Radio broadcast features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wimpy Phipps. And today we have the first part of a very interesting message. I'll just call it the message of the mountains. But when Pastor Phipps gets into the message, I think he will have a title for you that may be more accurate than the one that I've given. The best thing is to just stay tuned, because I'll tell you this, though the titles may not be clear, the message is a very, very interesting one, and you need to hear this one. Just before the message, however, we're going to have some music. Music by Wintley Phipps and Larnell Harris. This song is entitled My Heart Belongs to You.
Beside me in the garden mystery that soars within my soul. And we can feel the summer wind that moves across the water as it flows. This wondrous paradise and more than you see
that comes from my heart could never
expresses
flames
of joy
when you're here with me.
But only
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We heard some very, very beautiful music from Wintley Phipps and Larnell Harris. The song is entitled My Heart Belongs to You. And by the way, that's from the CD entitled Savior, the story of God's passion for his people. We're now going to get to the message for today. Here now is Pastor Wintley Phipps.
Let us pray. Father, as we go to your word, accept this, our pledge. Mi corazón, my heart is yours. We belong to you. I ask that you would cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Jesus. Fill my life with your Holy Spirit's presence and power. Speak to me, through me, for me. And I'll always be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 My message this morning, from Transfiguration to Calvary. From the Mount of Transfiguration to Mount Calvary. Our Lord, one day, was desirous of retiring from the press of the city. He beckoned to Peter, James, and John to follow him. Through the years, these three disciples had learned to follow Jesus implicitly, to follow him without doubt or reservation, without pause or hesitation. Church, as modern day disciples, we too must learn to follow our Savior's every command. At his command, we ought to be willing to brave any storm, face any foe. At his command, we ought to be willing to come or go, turn up or turn out, tear down, build up, march, run, fight, stand still at his command. That night, Peter, James, and John climbed that mountain with Jesus. Even though their minds couldn't understand the reason for this latest odyssey, "We're tired," they said to themselves. "Why this night? Why this mountain?" And because they had learned to be obedient, they dared not ask him why. Instead, they followed him, believing, as he pressed on up the rugged side of the mountain, that there must be some wonderful, profound reason for their journey. Together, they made their way through the city gate, across the fields, up the difficult mountain path. Peter, James, and John could not help but notice that as Jesus walked with them, his countenance seemed marked by an unusual resolve. The chronicle of their collective memories record that with each step, his eyes shone with grave and solemn determination. It was though he were driven by some instinctive rendezvous with destiny. Suddenly, without warning, Jesus stopped and said to those three who had come with him, "Peter, James, John, I need to talk to my Father privately. I need to talk to him about a few things he told me I'm going to go through. Wait here a while. Pray for me as I go on a little further." Church, Jesus wanted his disciples to keep a little prayer vigil going. And their all-night prayer meeting started off with enthusiasm. At first, they prayed with passion and zeal. But as it does in so many of our all-night prayer meetings, as the air gets thick with sleep, the saints start thinning out. Are you with me today? And so soon the eyelids of those three disciples grew heavy. A deep slumber overtook them. And while they were sleeping out there alone in the shadows, our Lord began to pray. I think it must have been an awesome experience to overhear Jesus speaking to his Father. Jesus fell on his knees with loud crying and tears. He began to pray like he had never prayed before. You see, church, Jesus had seen a cross in his future. And he didn't know if he had the strength to endure it. He had to talk to his Father about it. He had seen a darkened tomb in his future. And he didn't know if he would come through it alive. When Jesus took on our human frame, you see, he took on the liabilities of our humanity. Are you with me today? He carried with him every weakness we feel. He shouldered every disadvantage we have ever borne. You cannot come to Jesus and complain that he doesn't know what you're going through because you came from this background or this color. Are you with me today? With crying and tears, he pleaded for strength, not for himself alone, but for us, for his followers and his disciples. He prayed that he would have strength to endure the trial. He prayed for strength to carry nobly the frailties of our human frame. He prayed, "Father, before you call me to your side, strengthen Peter. Before you call me to your side, strengthen James and John. Show them a little glimpse of the glory I had with you before the world began. Give them a glimpse of the glories that await the faithful. Give them a preview of the kingdom that is to come. And while Jesus was praying, the gates of the holy city began to swing back on its hinges. And I imagine that God said to the throngs of the angelic hosts, "Angels, come, my son is down there on earth. And so far, he's doing fine. It looks like he's holding up well, but I know my son. Right now, he looks strong and determined, but I know my son. Right now, he's firm in his commitment to go through the fire, but I know my son. Right now, he's determined to stand the test and face the trial that is before him, but I know my son. He could use a little encouragement right about now. And at this moment, he's steadfast. He's resolute, but I know my son. He's coming to the end of his earthly sojourn, and right now he can't see through the grave. He can't see beyond the tomb. He can't see what I see. He's born up well under every trial, but I know my son. He's tough, but he needs something to lift his spirits. I know my son. Right now, he needs to know that all that he's been through will not amount to nothing. He needs to know that his living will not be in vain. He needs to know that he'll see the travail of his soul and he'll be satisfied. Said the Father, "Angels, I'm about to go down there myself. Who wants to go with me?" "I'll go," said Gabriel. "Father, I've gone down there many times before on missions you sent me, and this is a mission I would be honored to undertake with you. Father, you know I know the way. You know how many times I've navigated that tricky pass through Orion. Father, just say the word. I'll accompany you to earth." Oh, Gabriel, said the Father, I know you're able and I know you're willing, but Gabriel, this time I need another kind of volunteer. This time I need somebody who understands what it's like to be weary. And Gabriel, you've never been tired. You've never huffed and puffed. I need someone who knows what it's like to be bushed. I appreciate your willingness, but you've never been weary. Gabriel, I know you want to go, but I need somebody who understands what my son is going through. You've never been worn out, Gabriel. You never had to catch your breath. I appreciate your eagerness to go on this mission, but this is not a job for an angel. This time, I need some volunteers from the ranks of the redeemed. I need someone who understands what my son is going through. This time I need somebody who knows how it feels to be alone and discouraged. I need someone who understands what it feels like to be abandoned and deserted. I need someone who understands what it feels like to be rejected and forsaken. These are feelings, Gabriel, you've never known. This assignment is not the job for an angel. I know you love him. He's done so much for you. Gabriel, I know he recommended you to be in charge of the heavenly host when he went down to earth. But there is just no way for you to fully empathize with what my son is going through right now. You want to go out of loyalty, Gabriel, out of duty. But right now, my son needs understanding, sympathy, empathy. And I imagine God began looking into the eyes of every soul who had been resurrected with Jesus. You didn't hear what I just said. I imagine God began to look through the ranks of the redeemed who had ascended as first fruits. You see, the Desire of Ages tells us that those who came forth from the grave at Christ's resurrection, did you know that a whole host of people were resurrected at the resurrection of Jesus? She says, Ellen White says, they ascended with Jesus as trophies of his victory over death and the grave. They are no longer the captives of Satan. I have redeemed them, said Jesus. I brought them from the grave as first fruits of my power to be with me where I am, never more to see death or experience sorrow. The servant of the Lord said that those who came forth from the grave at the resurrection of Jesus went into the city of Jerusalem. Did you know they appeared? Oh, you're not with me today. I'm telling you, dead folks came out of their graves and went back to their neighborhoods, witnessing. Man, if you didn't give your life to Jesus, you'd have done it that day. Huh? Their resurrection was an illustration of the fulfillment of prophecy. I believe, church, that it was to those redeemed that the Father spoke that day. I can see the Father as he turns his face to those hosts who came up with Jesus and said, is there anybody else who will go with me? I need somebody who was lost but now is found. I need somebody who was blind but now can see. I need somebody who was sick and got well. I need somebody who has been touched with the feeling of his infirmities. I need somebody who's been lied on. I need somebody who's been betrayed. I need somebody who's been used and abused. Someone who's been beaten and taken advantage of. Someone who's been hurt by the ones they bless. I need somebody who's been wounded by a friend. Someone who's done wrong, been done wrong by someone to whom they've extended a hand of mercy. And suddenly, church, there was silence, and there came from around the throne a voice, clear and strong, Father, I'll go. Everyone turns to see the identity of this volunteer from the ranks of the redeemed. Father, he says, I'll go. I remember when I was out in the wilderness tending sheep, feeling forgotten and forsaken and abandoned and rejected. I remember Jesus came to me in the light of a burning bush. And he said, Moses, be encouraged. He said, hold your head up. I know you've been misunderstood. I want to use you, Moses, as a mouthpiece. I want to use you as a channel of blessing. Moses, I want to use you to preach good tidings unto the meek. I want to use you to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Moses, I want to use you to give beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for their mourning. I'll go, Father, because on the backside of Mount Horeb, Jesus came to me and he said, I won't let your past be a hindrance to your call. I won't let what you've done stop you from being used. I know what it is, Father. I'll go. I know what Jesus is dealing with. Because, Father, I know what it is to pass through the darkness of the grave. I know what it is to fall under the shadow of sin and death. You remember when I died, the children of Israel buried me in a grave, left me there for worms to destroy my body. But I'm in heaven today because I found a friend, somebody said. Oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. Around my heart still closely twined those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and he is mine forever and forever. Father, I'll go. When the devil said, give Moses back, Jesus said to him, you thief. In the name of the Father, I rebuke you. Father, I'll go. I know what he's going through. And Father, if you let me go, I'll stand by his side and comfort him. The Father said, I'm aware that I'm just in glory on the promise of his victory. I know that my presence here is a pledge of what Jesus has promised to do for sinners who believe on him. I'm well aware that if Jesus doesn't come, if he doesn't make it, if he doesn't conquer, then I'm going to have to turn back the keys to this mansion he's built for me that I've been living in. I just want to tell him, hold on, Jesus. Don't give up now. It's too important. You'll see the travail of your soul if you let me, Father. I'll go. All right, Moses said to Father, you can go, but I need one more volunteer. Who else will go? Another voice speaks up, says, Father, I'll go. You see, Father, when I was hunted like an animal, like an animal by a wild and wicked queen, Jesus sent an angel to feed me, sustain me at the brook Cherith. And Father, while I was there in that cave, Jesus sent an angel to bring me comfort. I faced a host of the priest of Baal, and Jesus sent angels to guard me on Mount Carmel. Before I died, he sent a delegation to inform me that he had a reservation for me in the city bright and fair. And when I came to the end of my life's journey, he sent a fiery limousine to pick me up and carry me up into glory. I owe him everything because of Jesus. I've never slept the death of the righteous. I'll go. God had found two volunteers, church, who understood. Servant of the Lord says, Peter, James, and John were awakened by the sense of an awesome, wondrous presence. And as God says, take your time. As their vision adjusted to the light, they noticed that Jesus was there, but he was not alone. They stood there, their mouths gaping in amazement. Moses, Elijah, talking to Jesus. But she says, when the disciples looked at Jesus, clothed with the light of heaven, they looked at Moses, they looked at Elijah, but they couldn't keep their eyes off of Jesus. She says, because he was looking like he's going to look when he comes again the second time.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today. This is part one of this message, and I'll call it just the Message of the Mountains. If you want to obtain an audio copy of today's message, here's what you need to do. Call the Seabrook Church, and the phone number is 301-577-6342. Again, at the Seabrook Church, the phone number 301-577-6342. And you'll want to ask today for program number 300. That's program number 300 in our series, and that will give you part one of today's message. We're going to conclude this message in our next broadcast, so you'll want to stay tuned and see how this message really ends up as Pastor Fitz presents it. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'd like to wish you God's richest blessings as you continue through your day, through your week. Join us again, though, for another program. And until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.